This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
As summer approaches, it seems everyone is worried about gas prices. And Smokey Jennings Chevrolet in Palmyra has 10 Chevy models offering 30 mpg highway or better. The 2012 Equinox at 32, the all-new Sonic at 35, the Impala at 30, the Cruze at 39, and the all-new 2013 Malibu at 37. At Smokey Jennings, they're on the ground and ready to sell. 35 cars and Equinoxes in stock. Smokey Jennings is ready to show you why their customers rate them in the top 5 for customer satisfaction in the St. Louis region. Smokey Jennings, family-owned and operated since 1946. Chevy runs deep.
Taylor Tire and Auto in Litchfield is your headquarters for Firestone Farm Tires and Service. Taylor Tire, your authorized Firestone Tire dealer, is the place to call for all your Firestone Farm Tire needs. And when you need in-the-field service, the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto are trained, experienced, and they have the right equipment to do the job and on time. So when you need Firestone Farm Tires or in-the-field service, call the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto at the west end of Tyler Avenue, Litchfield.
Operating a successful farm takes more than hard work and determination. It takes smart decision making from every angle. That's why more farm families turn to Farm Credit each day for all their financial and crop insurance needs. Our 96 years of experience has helped us become more than the nation's leading ag lender. In addition to our specialized staff of ag professionals, we've also developed a unique range of financial products and services that you can use to help manage the financial side of your farming business. Whether it's farm real estate loans, operating lines of credit, equipment financing, or crop insurance, Farm Credit has the products and services to meet the needs of today's farm families. When you demand success in every field, Farm Credit is the financial expert to turn to. For more information, call Farm Credit today at 1-800-444-FARM. Whether we're in the field with you or in the office for you, farming is our life too.
First of all, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now, July wheat, 649 and a quarter, down 7 1/2. September wheat, 664 and a half, down 7 3/4. July corn right now, 561 and a quarter, down 1 1/4. September corn, 522 and a half, unchanged. July soybeans right now, 1374 and a quarter, down 12 and a half. August beans, 1355, down 12 and a quarter. And July oats right now, 278 and a quarter, down 2 1/4. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, July wheat ended at 656 and 3/4, down 23 and a quarter. September wheat ended at 672 and a quarter, down 22 and a quarter. December wheat ended at 695, down 20 and 1/2. July corn yesterday closed at 562 and a half, down 16. September corn 522 and a half, down 4. December corn 517 and a half, down 4. July soybeans yesterday closed at 1386 and 3/4, up 4 3/4. August beans ended at 1367 and a quarter, up 5 1/4. And September beans ended at 1326 and 3/4, up 5. July soybean meal yesterday ended at 412.50, up 32. August meal, 399.30, up 40. September meal, 385.30, up 30. July soybean oil yesterday, 50.17, up a nickel. August oil, 50.39, up a nickel. And September oil, 50.61, up a nickel. July oats yesterday ended at 280.5, down 15 3/4. September oats, 285, down 14 3/4. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture's Grain Market News Report. The Illinois Kinder Grain prices were mixed on Tuesday afternoon, with corn and wheat values sharply lower, soybeans slightly higher. Technical selling at the Board of Trade and a wet weather forecast for the end of the week pushed corn futures lower. In the weekly crop progress report, the USDA placed 66% of the Illinois corn crop in good to excellent condition, with 28% fair and 6% rated poor to very poor. In the central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 16 cents lower on Tuesday at 581 to 595. Soybeans gained 5 to 7 cents at 1368 to 1384. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids 16 to 17 lower at 579 to 610. Soybeans gained only 2 to 3 cents at 1372 to 1387, while wheat bids dropped 13 to 15 cents at 630 to 652. In the St. Louis area, country elevators and mills report those corn bids down 16 to 17 cents at 588 to 595. Soybean bids ended mixed, ranged from 1365 to 1380, and the wheat bids dropped 18 to 22 cents at 640 to 652. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 17 to 21 weaker at 581 to 585. Soybeans advanced 4 to 5 cents at 1388 to 1394. And the new crop wheat bids for June, July delivery down 21 to 23 cents at 637 to 643. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 17 to 18 cents lower at 579 to 599. These same elevators raised their soybean prices by 4 cents with quotations at 1403 to 1410. Soft red winter wheat ended 24 cents lower at 645 to 646, and the Milo ended 11 cents lower at 528 to 529. That is our country grain report for Tuesday. This is Jerry Milberg returning you to WSMI.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, June hogs closed at 86.35, up $1.15. July hogs 87.67, up 110. August hogs 88.30, up $1.67. June cattle yesterday closed at 117.85, up 20. August cattle 119.60, up 50. October cattle 123.82, up 32. August feeder cattle yesterday ended at 157.57, down 92. September feeders closed at 158.67, down 80. October feeders closed at 160.05, down 70. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
Well, this is Joe Massey with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture's closing livestock report for Tuesday. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt daily direct afternoon hogs, negotiated purchases of bears and gilts on a carcass basis totaled 3,270 heads a day, are trading 63 cents lower from 75 to 8301 with a weighted average of 79.90. And in Illinois today, there were 13,575 head of bears and gilts sold. Primal cutout value for a loin was up 86 cents today at 78.83. Illinois direct slaughter sow and bull report, sows traded steady to weak with U.S. 1s and 3s under 400 pounds from 42 to 44, 4 to 5 weights from 43 to 46, and over 500 pounds from $45 to $49. Illinois direct bears and gilts traded steady to $2 lower today from $55 to $57. The estimated daily livestock slaughter under federal inspection for Tuesday, hogs are at 425,000 on the day. That's up 8,000 from last week and up 4,000 from last year. Cattle are at 130,000 on the day. That's up 4,000 from last week and up 1,000 from the same time last year. The USDA's estimated box beef choice cutout values, there was a total of 122 fabricated loads and 49 trim loads. Choice carcasses were up $1.11 at $195.74. while selects were up $1.75 at $1.87.21, leaving the choice select spread at $8.53. At the Shelbyville Livestock Auction, the opening report for Tuesday, they estimate 360 head on offer. Compared to last week, all classes of slaughter steers and heifers traded $1 to $2 lower. Choice steers from $1.20 to $1.24, while choice Holsteins were at $1.11.75 to $1.14.25. Choice heifers from $1.20 to $1.23, and selecting choice heifers from $1.16 to $1.20. At the weekly hay auction in Arthur, they had alfalfa small squares premium quality at 8.5 a bale, good quality from 5 to 5.75, and large squares at 62.5 per bale. Utility quality alfalfa in small squares traded at $2. Alfalfa orchard grass good quality large squares at $75 a bale, and fair quality small squares at $3.75 to $4. Mixed grass, good quality, large rounds at $33 to $37.5 per roll. Thank you. Again, this has been Joe Massey. Now back to the main studios of WSMI.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, spot dairy prices for butter, $1.39 and a quarter, up a half. For block cheese, $1.57 unchanged. For barrel cheese, 150 up 3. The spot price for Class 3 milk yesterday ended at $15.60. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for May, $5.82. For June, $5.70. Corn delivered to Scottville for May, $5.82. And for June, $5.62. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for May, $13.71. For June, $13.80. And wheat delivered to Scottville, $6.16. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. The pre-opening price is once again corn at Greenfield, $5.82. Corn at Scottville, $5.82. Beans at Greenfield or Scottville, $13.71. Wheat at Scottville, $6.16. The overnight crude oil market, $1.29 lower at $89.47. The Brent crude, $1.56 lower at $104.12. And the August gold contract, $1.40 lower at $1,549.60. The U.S. dollar index, 0.183 higher at 82.7. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Wednesday. It's been brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois, by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, and by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra. It's coming up on 619. Color radar showing scattered light showers around the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
What is farming smart? It means choosing seed that fits your operation's goals. Select hybrids and varieties of FS High Soy brand soybeans that are part of a comprehensive cropping plan. That's FS Seed and FS Green Plan Solutions from M&M Service Company. That's farming smart. And farming smart always begins with FS Seed. Talk to M&M Service Company today to learn how FS High Soy brand soybeans and FS Green Plan Solutions can maximize every one of your acres. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Partly cloudy skies today, high temperatures in the upper 70s and light north winds. Tonight becoming cloudy, a slight chance of a shower, low temperatures in the mid-50s. And for tomorrow, Thursday, cloudy and cooler with occasional showers, the high in the mid-60s. Your extended forecast for Friday through Sunday, partly cloudy skies and warmer with a chance of a shower Friday. Low temperatures in the upper 60s, highs in the upper 80s. Right now at the Weather Center, light north winds. The barometric pressure is steady. We have partly cloudy skies, 61 degrees on this Wednesday morning. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is yours next.
Mix or match 10 for 10 at Capri IGA. 48-ounce cans of Dave Fratelli tomato juice, 16-ounce bottles of IGA yellow mustard, and 4-ounce packages of Modern Farm sliced white mushrooms. Mix or match 10 for $10. Plus, boneless beef chuck steak is $2.99 a pound. For value and convenience, shop your hometown proud Capri IGA in Litchfield, Hillsboro, and Greenville.
Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you this morning by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro, by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, and by Hickory Groves Family Farms. In our farm news today, on Tuesday, we talked to Sam Hudson of Water Street Solutions. We asked him about the expansion of open cry trading on the Chicago Board of Trade from 7:30 until 2 each day.
Well, it looks like that's what's going to happen. You know, there was some concern from the get-go from some of the pit traders, of course, that, you know, we're concerned that the electronic markets, anyone that had access to that would have a little bit of a competitive advantage because those reports were being released at 7:30. And, of course, right now, pit trade doesn't open until 9:30 in the morning. So it sounds like what's going to happen is they've petitioned, and it looks as though they're going to try to open around 7:20 a.m. They originally thought that they may do that just on report days, but it appears now that they may go ahead and do that throughout, basically Monday through Friday. So that will start, I believe they're trying to get that done before the next supply and demand report, and I believe that's Tuesday, June 12th. So that morning, for the first time, the pit will open at 7:20 a.m. Those traders will have, the ability to, hedge their bets as well on the world markets, and it's definitely going to didn't change the way things are done here, at least for right now, at least in the beginning, because these reports have never been, of course, released while trade has been going. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, it will. But do you mean with the way how you do things, do you refer to those on the Board of Trade or you at your office and what
well,
you folks do?
Well, I would say both. I mean, it's definitely changed the way the cash grain bids have come to develop. You know, there's been some confusion recently about the settlement prices. That we're currently still using a 1:15 settlement prices, but when the markets trade until 45 minutes past that, till two in the afternoon, a lot of the cash grain elevators and anyone who's needing to buy grain, you know, there was a little bit of discrepancy on what those bid sheets looked like, which prices they were using. So it's changed things there in that arena a little bit. But also from a hedging standpoint, from a company like ourselves, you used to have a couple hours to kind of digest the information and really look at it. I think what it could cause is a lot of knee-jerk kind of gyrations right on the open. But undoubtedly, the price discovery, you know, where that market closes at the end of the day shouldn't change too much in relationship to where it was before. It's just going to cause some excitement, right as those numbers come out, of course.
We've had a little bit of rain here overnight. Is that going to play into prices here in the near term?
Well, I think it very well could. You know, we got a little bit of a bump in some of these markets to end the week last week. Of course, the corn market's still looking kind of dismal. Some liquidation going on there in the spreads, specifically as well, an old crop versus the new crop. And we did get some key rains in some key areas that were very dry. Northeast Nebraska, northwest Iowa, up into parts of Minnesota. Those areas actually receiving too much rain in some cases. But northeast Nebraska, I talked to a client this morning that received between 4 and 5 inches of rain here over the last 4 or 5 days, and it came steadily. So those are definitely welcomed. There's still a little bit of a dry pocket in west central Illinois. But these rains that could develop this week, we got between a 30 and 60% chance, it looks like, before the weekend. If those continue to develop, there was a lot of concern last week about dryness. I think those concerns are going to fade away quite quickly if we continue to get rainfall.
And there are still a lot of beans that need to be planted yet.
Yeah, I have been hearing about that, and I've heard of a lot of beans that have been planted and have been seeing dry dirt for a while as well, and that is a concern initially, especially if you get just enough moisture or you get it in deep enough where that bean can kind of swell up a little bit but then not emerge out of the ground, whether it's because of a crusting issue or just can't get the oomph to go. I would think with these rains that should help, but, unless you just got a little bit, like I said, just to get enough moisture in there for that thing to swell. But for the most part, we should be in decent shape. Even if it sat in dry dirt for a little while, as long as you get a catch a decent rain, after that, you should be in pretty good shape. And as early as this crop has gone in, I think we still have to bring ourselves back to that. It seems like it's been forever now that this crop's been in the ground, when typically planting is still very well underway. And it'll be interesting to see what the good excellent ratings say after this weekend and the weather that we've had.
That was Sam Hudson of Water Street Solutions. Rita Frazier of the Illinois Farm Bureau recently talked to Derek Staton of Farm Credit Services, and they discussed the condition of the area's crops.
I'm Rita Frazier reporting Ag News here on WSMI. We recently caught up with Derek Staton with Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Derek covers Montgomery and Christian County, but talked more about how the crops look in general in the mid part of the state. How do they look?
Yeah, I've been fortunate enough to have many travels over the last month or so, and definitely a change in scenery over that month span. Guys from Christian, Montgomery, Macoupin, I know fellows in Madison and even Southern Illinois that got a really nice start to their crop season there towards the end of March and progressed right up until Easter. And then we had some rains, but most guys right now are finishing up beans, if not finished, and the corn has just really taken off and progressed. Some people caught a rain last Sunday. However, we could still use some more in areas, that's for sure. And definitely this bean crop could use a rain, the beans just being planted. Definitely is dry in some areas. And most people I talk to, that's kind of a hot topic is weather. And most people in the northern, you get north of Springfield, and I've talked to some gentlemen in that area. You know, they were blessed with some rain last Sunday, and I know their crops look great. I traveled to Jacksonville last week, and really has been a great growing season for them there in the months of April and May here. And a lot of people are very fortunate, and they'll be the first to tell you they're fortunate with the way their crops look in comparison to prior years. So all in all, most people are happy. But boy, we need to keep those rains coming if we can.
You also have had an opportunity to have a lot of conversations, both in the field, on the farms. What are you talking about right now?
Volatility. That's been the hot button forever within the agriculture economy here for the last couple of years, is definitely the volatility of the commodity markets. You know, there is definitely some people that are still holding on to some old crop corn, wondering what they should cash in and dabble in some, get rid of some of those bushels that they just have, they've been dabbling in. But the main hot topic is the new crop corn sales. Where should people start to look if they haven't been selling some ahead of time into the futures? Where should they start looking at? This grain market just bounces every day, and it's so hard hard to put a number on it. I think most people, though, we talk with are starting to implement some sort of marketing plan and look at forward pricing. It's amazing that the government and other informants have come out with record bushel crops for corn yields, at least in 2012 and 13 here. And that has a lot of people thinking on their mind of where this corn crop price-wise could be headed if indeed the United States comes away with a record crop. On the bean side of things, many people are kind of wondering on this bean market. It's probably been even more volatile than the corn due to South America's crop and whatnot's gone on there and our demand right now. So commodities continue to be the hot button.
Derek Staden with Farm Credit Services of Illinois. I'm Rita Frazier reporting here on WSMI.
Thank you, Rita. In other farm news, a new University of Illinois study suggests given current variable and fixed costs of production, ethanol plants are losing money when the cash price of corn exceeds $6.75 a bushel. Todd Gleason has more with one of the study's authors.
The tightness of the old crop corn supply and demand balance is a subject of considerable debate as we head into the final quarter of the 2011-12 marketing year. The final degree of tightness will be a function, of course, of several variables, says University of Illinois ag economist Scott Herwin, including the accuracy of previous USDA stocks estimates, the availability and price of feed wheat this summer, the amount of early harvested corn available in August, and the consumption pace of end users. This last variable is mainly a function of livestock numbers, both in the U.S. and overseas, and ethanol production here in the United States. Since livestock feeders have a limited capacity to adjust usage over a few months, Irwin claims ethanol producers would likely bear the brunt of any additional rationing of corn if it's necessary.
So we have a representative Iowa ethanol plant that we have built and have used to explore the profitability of ethanol production in the past. And we use that same model to basically back out the maximum price that this representative plant could pay over time for a bushel of corn and still cover their variable costs.
Again, the key question is what cash price of corn will force ethanol plants to throttle back production or shut down completely? The shutdown level of an ethanol plant is simply the point where revenue no longer covers the variable costs of production. Continuing production beyond this point only adds to the losses incurred via the fixed costs.
We compute that, based on the most recent price of ethanol, that you would need cash corn prices near $6.75 and above over a sustained period of time to force some more ethanol plants to throttle back or close production for a short period of time.
Well, the computed shutdown price, by the way, varies widely over time, and this largely reflects, says Scott Irwin, the changing price of ethanol. Two peaks in the shutdown price are observed over time, $8.25 in July of 2008 and $10.21 a bushel in November of 2011. A low of $3.69 per bushel of corn was reached in March of 2009 and 2010. Now, the shutdown price for most of the spring of this year, 2012, exceeded $7. The most recent observations suggest ethanol plants must throttle back at about $6.75 for a bushel of corn. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
The United States Meat Export Federation held their annual Board of Directors meeting in New Orleans last week, and with a report, we'll join Joe Sheely.
One of the highlights of last week's USMEF Board of Directors meeting in New Orleans was a product showcase in which USMEF member companies exhibited beef, pork, and lamb items for more than 100 meat buyers representing 12 international markets. USMEF Chair-elect Steve Isaf, president of Atlanta-based exporter Interra International, says the product showcase gave exporters a unique business opportunity.
The product showcase gives us an opportunity to see customers from actually all parts of the world at one time in one place, which is very unusual. So it's a very cost-efficient way to meet your clients, some current and some that are new prospects for us, and to have them come from all corners of the world to one location where you can meet them over a 3 or 4 hour period. It was really a fantastic event. we had a very strong representation in all sort of categories. We had processing kind of customers, we had wholesaling customers, retail customers, so that was an excellent spread of customers.
Many of the buyers were part of regional trade teams hosted by USMEF for an extensive look at U.S. meat production. One of those teams was from the China-Hong Kong region, coordinated by Joel Haggard, USMEF Senior Vice President for the Asia-Pacific.
We brought over 8 individuals. 2 were from China and 6 were from Hong Kong. Mostly importers, distributors, but we had 2 chefs on the trip, restaurant operators actually. A chef and a purchasing manager, which represents kind of the key team of this one large restaurant chain. Most of these people had not visited the United States before. They weren't familiar with they're familiar with the fork, but they weren't familiar with the farm through the processor stage. So we really focused on looking first at the processing plants, and then we showed them some food service concepts. Most importantly, they saw a lot of different items that currently are not in that marketplace, and we think that's really key because sometimes they just have to see what's available, and then they can get ideas about expanding their usage of red meats, beef and pork.
For more on this and other trade issues, please visit usmef.org.
Finally, in our farm news this morning, legislation honoring former United States Secretary of Agriculture John Block, sponsored by State Senator Darren LaHood of Dunlop and State Representative Don Moffitt of Gilson, passed the Illinois Senate last week. House Bill 5540 renames the Department of Agriculture building at the State Fairgrounds in Springfield the John R. Block Building. The bill now heads to the governor for approval. Once again, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now, July corn, 563.5, that's up a penny. September corn, 524.25, up 1.75. July soybeans, 1375.5, down 11.25. August beans, 1355.5, down 11.75. July wheat right now, 650.5, down 6.25. September wheat, 665.75. That's down 6.5, and July oats, 278.5, that's down 2. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on WSMI, WSMI FM 106. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Hickory Grove Family Farms, by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro, and by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value.